7 Summit Snacks. Fuel your next adventure with chocolate crafted to conquer. Made with ethically sourced chocolates and ingredients you know and understand. Find your next taste adventure at 7summitsnacks.com.
Welcome to Northern Latitudes. I'm Bill Ault. Today I'm joined by Leanna Carrier and Tim Dobert, the duo behind the upcoming documentary Wings of Survival. Leanna and Tim will be taking the road less traveled, quite literally, as they navigate from Alaska to the tip of South America, propelled solely by their own strength and determination.
My name's Tim Dobert. I'm a conservation scientist by training. I've done most of my training in the space of the human footprint on the environment, and I've studied different parts of the world, a lot in Asia, Australia, New Zealand, been in Canada for 5 years, so done some research on the grassland ecosystems. I'm an athlete as well, so I like cycling the most, but we do triathlon, so I try myself in swimming and I enjoy running. And I'm German born. I've been on the road kind of for 20 years. So as I said, lived in different parts of the world. And currently in Colombia, training for the upcoming expeditions, so trying to improve Spanish and spending a lot of time on the bicycle, studying birds. It's the most bird biodiverse country. So really enjoying all the colors and all the songs out here. And
I'm Leanna Carrier. Born and raised in Edmonton, was Canada's first female decathlete and international pole vaulter. And I turned to the dark side of endurance sports and fell in love with kind of the adventure endurance events that I would do. Ironman, I ran the Mount Everest Marathon. I've been a personal trainer for almost 20 years now and co-founded 7 Summit Snacks with my sister. So, and she was on the podcast, I think, last week. So, thanks, Bill, for having us. It's a great opportunity.
Kristen was amazing. She was such a breath of fresh air. And we were more than happy to launch our other podcast, NL Biz, with Kristen as our first guest. Oh, nice. Okay. You two are about to set off on something that sounds incredibly crazy. It's a 30,000-kilometer trip, self-propelled, so biking, I'm assuming a little bit of paddling in there, a little bit of running, a little bit of walking, a whole bunch of biking. So tell me the extent of the trip, where you're starting and where you're ending up, and then we'll talk about why you're doing it.
Oh, yeah, we're starting in Alaska in the Arctic Refuge, where we're going to meet a flock of birds and tag them there. And from there, we hop on our bikes and we have rafts as well to do some pack rafting and potentially some trekking. And we are basically following the Pacific America's flyway all the way down to the most southern tip of South America and hopefully reconnect with the same flock of birds 9 months later.
Okay, Tim, you tell me about the flyway and you tell me what it means for those birds.
Yeah, so like you said, it's a crazy undertaking, but we're just doing it once, right? So birds are constantly on the move. There's almost 11,000 species globally, and probably 40 to 50% actually migrate. And a lot of people don't realize that so many birds do migrate because we just see cranes and maybe geese, but there's a lot of movement at night. So a flyway is basically a corridor. It's a simplification, of course, but it's in a way a corridor in between continents. So it's the north to south and return journey that a lot of birds take twice a year.
And Leanna, your initial interest in this trek was not so much about birds, maybe, but more of athletic pursuit?
Yes. Right before meeting Tim during the COVID pandemic, I was getting ready to do Ironman Canada. I think it was for the second time. And then 2 weeks prior to the race, BC shut down again and I was super frustrated. So I saw this record attempt on the Pan American Highway and I thought, if we shut down again, I'm just going to take my bike and go. And yeah, shortly after this, I kind of showed Tim and shared my kind of vision of riding this highway. And he shared his vision and explained to me that this was a flyway and kind of a similar idea that we both had. And then so we thought bringing athletic adventure and science and community together was a good way to bring different demographics to the awareness of bird migration and the health of the planet.
And I read a little quote from you, Leanna, on the weekend on, I think it was your LinkedIn, and it's not just about riding 30,000 kilometers. It's about connection, resilience, citizen science, nature, and preserving the health of all living things. Healthy planet, healthy humans. Tim, can you speak to that a little bit?
Yeah, it's so my point of view is very strongly in conservation minded. And I've been in academia for about 20 years doing all those different incremental steps, different degrees. And I finished a postdoc last year. So that's kind of the final step before you maybe become a professor, which is not what I'm choosing, because partly because I feel we need to take more action. So there's a lot of knowledge and there's a lot of continuous knowledge generated in academia, but there's definitely a shortcoming when it comes to implementing the knowledge and really driving action. So yeah, we're just at this point in time where there's so many unfortunate trajectories in the biodiversity and the climate change and the pollution space. And that's just environment. It's obviously very closely linked to social problems as well. So that's really underpinning the motivation of attracting different audiences to conservation, to nature, just giving a very different perspective to people. And we believe it takes a human element to really capture people's interest, because there's so many people who are fascinated about human adventures. So we can really become ambassadors to the birds in a way. And the birds are indicators, right? It's not just purely about the birds, but it's really about nature, about ecosystems, about all species. But yeah, birds are pretty awesome in the sense that you find them everywhere. They're part of people's lives, right? Even if people often maybe don't realize, but you can basically be anywhere and there's going to be a bird singing. And so it's a great way to connect people, to have a shared responsibility, but also a shared opportunity. So we're not leaving anyone out. It's really across continents, countries, communities. So we believe it's a great way to capture people's interest for nature.
And you two are in one of the bird centers of the world, I would say. And Leanna, can you tell me a little bit about what you two have been up to where you are, and tell me where you are?
So we're staying in Ardeen, Colombia. So that's in the Coffee Triangle, kind of in the middle, basically.
Maybe in the center.
In the center, yes. Yeah, so what we've been doing here is we attended a bird fair in Cali and did some bird watching, and that was new for me. So different experience and lots of learning on my end. I've seen so many different birds and the colors are just so vibrant and beautiful. And I can completely understand why people fall in love with these amazing little creatures. And then we've been training here and we've been, yeah, meeting with our film team. Justin was out, so he's from Edmonton. So he was out for 2 weeks filming. We did a 4-day bike trial. So part of this expedition is we're collecting scientific data, not just on the birds, but on us as humans. So we are collecting kind of our calories, following our nutrition, calories in, calories out, monitoring our heart rates, sleep. And then we're also doing a study on resilience on the sports psychology end of things with the UVA. So we had a list of questions to go through every night as well. So we're just trialing what 4 days being on a bike for 8 hours, how that worked, how fueling went. I made 4 different days, kind of expedition type days. So an easier ride, I made Tim do a ride and he had to ride at my pace the whole time. We did a more intense ride and then we did a fun day of filming. So a mix of gravel and road. And so yeah, the trial went really well. So that was a big point of coming down here to do that. Colombia is also known for the cycling. So lots of hills. So really great training, learning Spanish and for me, learning, well, both of us learning a lot about the different types of birds.
As true endurance athletes, she really understated what you two did. According to LinkedIn, it was 4 days of cycling, or nearly 400 kilometers and 9,000 meters in elevation gain. Us normal people go, I don't think so. But so you guys have been working hard and enjoying a little bit of the bird life as well.
Yeah. That trial was really important just to make sure we still had the motivation every day to get back on the bikes, to make sure we knew how to fuel ourselves and to learn. We learned a lot about, for the expedition, planning kind of when we ride, different gear we might need. So it was a really good learning tool, and I would say it was pretty successful. Physically, we did very well. I was happy with our results.
Tim, you're also making a film about this, and it's called Wings of Survival, or it will be called, right? The documentary. How much does the documentary aspect of it affect just the planning part of it? Because it's a big undertaking.
Yeah, certainly. Well, it's partly the financial side. A documentary is just so much more expensive than the expedition itself. So that's really a big component. And we're working as a team. So we've got Justin, as Liana said, in Edmonton. We've got a production team, Top Studio in the US. And we have an independent impact filmmaker. So there's actually three filmmakers on board right now. And we're really working as a team. So we're trying to promote this as a cohesive story. And that's the way we're approaching different potential sponsors and brands. As Liana said, Justin was all here, so there's a lot of fixing as well, right? We're trying to organize, we're trying to pre-plan a little bit. Justin's still in charge of what he's going to capture and all the different scenes and what he needs, but we're trying to support as much as possible being out here. And we did something similar in Patagonia, where we filmed about 1.5 years ago at one of those extreme triathlon events. And we went to Alaska to meet some bird experts and, yeah, did a pack rafting course. So Justin's been following us. we don't get to spend our holidays alone anymore. There's always a filmmaker. But in a really exciting way. We've got very good dynamics and, yeah, really grateful for this opportunity to have a documentary, which obviously really amplifies our ability to have impact. And that's really what the project is about. It's not so much about Liana and myself. It's more about us being catalysts for really being part of contributing to driving change.
What are your concerns for the birds? Like, I know this is about the birds. Wings of Survival pretty well states that. It's about the plight of the birds and the migratory birds. What are your specific worries?
Yeah, so having worked in conservation science for such a long time, I'm very much aware about the problems we're facing, not just for birds, but wildlife in general. So we've lost about 70% of populations in the last 50 years only. So there's a gigantic drop in individuals, in population health. And then there's just so many species at this brink of extinction, how we call it. So we're really on different fronts, creating a situation that becomes dangerous to us as well as humans. So there's maybe not enough understanding at the moment how important wildlife and biodiversity is for us as humans. So there's a very much appreciation for climate change. So a lot of the focus is on carbon, but yeah, I think the problem of biodiversity is very much underappreciated. So we're trying to change that, because fundamentally it's not just about our survival, but I think there's also the spiritual component. There's so much, it's just so enriching, even if sometimes we don't realize, to have diversity, right? It's diversity in species, but it's also in a human context, cultures and languages. That's really what makes life worth living, right? But we're having this huge drive of filtering species where there's just an there's probably 20 species that are highly domesticated, which are these days accounting for 75% of the biomass on the planet. So we're really driving wildlife, which is millions of species, into this, just a tiny fraction of life on Earth. And I think that's really impoverishing us as humans too, again, because there's so much richness on the planet. And I think that's what we need to preserve to sustain us as humans on so many different levels.
Now, you've spoken about following a flock from north to south. Is it a particular flock?
So we're looking at a species that is called a whimbrel. It's a coastal bird. And we've picked this species because it potentially goes all the way from Alaska, the very north, to the very south in Patagonia. So there's a lot of species, as I said, migrating, but very few take on this entire journey that we are trying to emulate. And there's some scientists who have been working on whimbrels for a number of years. So they study their migrations, their movements. It's not necessarily a flock. It might just be individual birds. So birds, each and every species has such a unique strategy as well, which is fascinating in terms of navigation, in terms of how do they migrate, where do they stop along the way. But it's some individuals which we're tracking. So we're creating this parallel journey where people can, providing a platform where people can follow us and see, this is the movement of the bird. This is the movement of us. We can tie this to environmental information. So every day we're recording the soundscape, which is maybe spending 10 or 15 minutes recording just life around us, to give people a very multidimensional experience of what do we see, what do we listen to. And at the same time, we've got those interesting, fascinating human physiological and physical data, so we can share our fitness data, what we eat, something people are really interested in, right? How much do we burn? How do we make sure we get all the calories in? If we're burning 10,000 calories a day, that's a lot of food, right? And you're spending a lot of time on the bike. So how do you fuel yourself? So creating a platform where we're showcasing the parallel journeys between the birds and us.
We'll be right back.
Dive into purity with North Elevated Water, nature's gift, elevated. Sourced from pristine BC glaciers, every drop is a sip of freshness. Elevate your hydration, elevate your day. North Elevated Water, pure, crisp, unparalleled. Available at drinknorthwater.com.
This spring, embark on an adventure like no other. Join us at the Northern Latitudes Film Festivals, showcasing the spirit of exploration and the thrill of the great outdoors. First up, the world tour stop of the Paddling Film Festival on April 17th. Feel the rush of water and the pulse of the paddle. Then, elevate your spirit with the Vancouver International Mountain Film Festival on May 15th. Experience the highs of adventure right at the heart of downtown Brockville at the Aquatarium. Shows start at 7 p.m. both nights. Tickets are available now at northernlatitudes.ca.
And Leanna, can you speak to the preparation athletically for this?
Yeah, so for us, I think the biggest thing right now is Tim and I already have a pretty good kind of VO2 and aerobic system, which is great. So the biggest thing is not getting injured and making sure we're as strong as possible, because there's a good chance we're going to be losing weight throughout this trip. There's going to be an adaptation phase on the bike. So not over biking right now, although it's really hard because we're in a beautiful area to be cycling outside in February, March. So yeah, not over biking, not overdoing it too much, but really developing our strength in all kind of ranges of motion, laterally as well, core strength, glute strength, good posture, anything, just so that we're biomechanically performing really well in anything we do. So just the stronger we are, with a nice aerobic base going into this is kind of the perfect sweet zone without being overtrained or overworked. So yeah, we put in right now probably around like 2 to 4 hours a day of training. That'll be on the bike. I like to mix it up in the pool and running, but again, we don't want to get injured or anything. So kind of monitoring those recoveries and monitoring kind of our overall well-being day to day is important. And then, yeah, just keeping the strength on, which is fun because you get to go in the gym, because we're going to miss the gym after 9 months. There's going to be no gym for 9 months. So yeah, really getting that solid base and that strength and going in just a little bit heavier is not a bad thing to be doing right now. So it's fun training right now. I've been enjoying it.
I'm going to ask you this one first, Leanna. What are your biggest expectations from a challenge point of view? Like, what do you think is going to be the hardest thing about this?
The physical challenge or the mental challenge?
Either one. And the mental question was coming up because I know that's a big part of this. But if you want to start with the mental one, you go ahead.
Well, it all kind of goes hand in hand. So one of the biggest things that I noticed for myself when I'm cycling, it's hard for me to eat as many calories. So working with fluids, getting my calories in that way is super important. And I say this on the nutrition side because, and I know this from even the chocolate, when you start depleting yourself, you start getting into this negative headspace and stuff hurts, stuff is more amplified, all that, the bad feelings, the soreness in the legs, the degree of difficulty while you're trying to cycle up a hill, everything feels harder and it starts to be getting really negative if you're not on top of your nutrition. So the nutrition is going to play a huge role in how we feel and how we perform. So that's super important. So we do have a sports dietitian on board with us, which is great. So we can work with her and kind of debrief. So making sure, yeah, we don't get into that hole and we're recovering. So right now, a hard part is over the 4-day trial, we noticed we're cycling for 8 hours, which ended up being a 12-hour day with braking and lunch stops. And then on top of that, afterwards, we both had to attend to work meetings, planning for this expedition. So I think Tim was up till midnight most nights, and then we're up at 6. So making sure we're on the expedition, we're just cycling and recovering and eating. I think it's going to be challenging to just make sure we get into that routine and the recovery part. Because once you start digging that hole, it's really hard to get out of it. So what I mean by digging yourself in that hole, I mean your calories are depleted. You run down and you're going deeper and deeper. And so typically what you tend to see in the body is you'll have a jump in your heart rate. And then usually what you'll see in athletes is they'll get sick a couple of days later. And we don't have a lot of time to spend in bed for 2 weeks healing. So I think trying to just maintain just a healthy balance is going to be the hardest thing. And it plays both on the mental and physical side of things. I think mentally it's going to be a bit of a grind at points for sure. It's going to challenge us both. It's going to challenge us together too, kind of teammates and couple. So, because we're going to be out there cycling, just the two of us. So I'm sure there'll be some times where we might.
Leanna brought it up, Tim. So you have to speak to the couple component. How do you think this is going to affect you as a couple? Perfect.
I always have to answer that question. So that's great.
Sorry, was that a question already?
Oh yeah, that's a question, man. You got to answer that one. Realistically, mentally, physically, obviously, it's, you know, you look at 30,000 kilometers by self-propelled whatever, and you're going, yeah, okay, that's a big deal. But I'm thinking as a couple, 30,000 kilometers, that's a stressor, man, on a couple and a relationship.
Yeah, interesting enough. Because the preparation is just so intense, it's maybe a little bit answering a slightly different question of what do we believe is going to be the major challenge along the way. I almost feel once we get going, it's going to be much more relaxed, because preparation, there's just so many different loose ends at the moment that we need to tie together. I almost feel that's when a lot of weight is going to drop off the shoulders, because once we start, that's what it is in a way. There's no more planning. There's no more no more writing. I'm just writing every day. So I'm really looking forward to this moment of being on the bike and, yeah, just really enjoy and explore. And obviously, it's there's so much we're going to see. It's not just a project, but even from a experience point of view, there's so much we're going to take away from this adventure. I know that doesn't answer your.
That was nice stick. In Canada, we would call that stick handling. Well done. That was nicely done.
That was the politician version. Yeah. maybe just to tap into it briefly. Just over the last 2 years, we've spent a lot of time apart. I feel we've really emphasized trying to make this expedition happen in a very, in the most impactful way. And that's really influenced our decision making. So I feel we're in a really good space, having lived something different over the last 2 years as compared to what maybe couples usually spend their time, or spending more time in the same place. So I feel we've pushed boundaries already quite a bit. So yeah, I think we'll be in a really good space once we're on the bikes.
You set off in June, correct? June, is that right, Leanna? So what's the plan between now, we're at the beginning of March, until June when you set off on this endeavor?
It's crazy. It's only about 3 months away. There's still so much that needs to be done. So we're still trying to secure a support vehicle. That's been a huge stress right now. And yeah, continuously trying to get sponsorship and funding, just so that we can make this project as big as possible. So we don't want to do a makeshift. I think my sister mentioned this in the podcast too. Like when we came out with those chocolate bars and we created the packaging, we wanted to come out professionally and we wanted to be at a certain standard. It's the same thing with this. Like we've put so much energy. It's been 2.5 years in the making. We have the documentary team. So we want to do it right and really create is the biggest impact as we can in sharing our story with the world. So yeah, there's lots to be done. Every day we're writing emails on LinkedIn, trying to connect with people and organizations that want to be part of our flock and our team and help support us. So there's a lot in 3 months still. The training is the easy part, I would say. Physically, Tim and I are both really, yeah, I think, great to go. So it's just getting those bigger partners on board and that understand and want to support the bigger picture. So
is there a way for people to support you that are listening?
Yeah, we have a GoFundMe. Can get it through our website at www.wingsofsurvival.com. Also, shooting us a message on LinkedIn or Instagram is always a great way to connect and talk about potential sponsorship opportunities.
Now, there's also a trailer there and a short bit of footage, and it looks great. What are your hopes, Tim, what do you hope the message is finally coming out of the documentary when it's done?
For me, partly it's trying to showcase to people the really impactful solutions. So I think one of the problems we face is that a lot of the solutions at an individual level that are really powerful are not necessarily communicated by media. And that's partly because those solutions are really constrained by big lobbyist groups. So I think I always say, I think a lot of people still believe that maybe taking a cold shower or recycling is going to be the solution, is going to be enough at an individual level, but there's actually much bigger solutions. For example, what do we eat? It's just the single biggest one, because it influences climate, biodiversity, the use of land. I think also from a moral point of view, how do we evolve as human beings, right? How do we treat each other, but how do we treat different animals as well? So diet is, for me, the number one most impactful lever we have on really driving change. And then there's, where do you put your money? Where do you invest? Things like this. So there's really important solutions, but they're just not communicated. So I think we're creating a platform where we can nudge people a little bit more about what they can do, because a lot of people want to do something, but they might not feel empowered, or as I said, they might just not have the information because it's not necessarily disseminated as much as it should be. So that's a big one. And I just love to really utilize our platform. So in terms of media interest and outreach and communication, to really maximize the way we can engage with people and plant seeds, right? For people to just be excited in a way, for scientists, for example. I'd love for scientists to feel empowered to do something more creative, do something different, because a lot of scientists, they really want to change something. That's the motivation, right? For becoming a conservation scientist or an ecologist or hydrologist, many different fields. But at the moment, the structure of the system does not necessarily facilitate anything beyond scientific papers. So I'd love to see scientists just become creative, try different things. How do we inform people? How do we engage with people? How do we really get the knowledge outside of those university buildings? So that's one. And then just in general, really, let's say talk about athletes, outdoor, adventure enthusiasts, just again, empower, enable, motivate people to really use their platform to communicate important messages, things they witness being outside. So I think there's a lot that can be done, but oftentimes we don't appreciate the role we can play at an individual level.
Amanda, you set off in June. What's the expectation on a timeline?
Well, we have to make it by 9 months or else the birds are going to fly back.
So you have to chase them back then.
Yeah. So the goal is to cycle close to 150 kilometers a day on average over 9 months. And that's with 2 days in each country, so about 30 days of rest. And when we say rest, those are going to be community engagements along the route. So it's really important that we highlight the good work that's already being done. So we're working with some organizations to figure out what those locations are exactly. But yeah, kind of like Tim said, it's just so important to kind of empower people to think on a deeper level and realize that a small change can have a huge impact. And I think from myself, not being a scientist, it's for myself, not coming from the science background, I am the type of person, I am the person that sees the changes, but didn't really understand how I could change to better this planet and really understand how we are all connected, kind of, as I said, healthy planet, healthy humans. It's just so important now. And I see it more and more now. And part of it's because Tim has shared so much knowledge and articles with me. But I think a lot of it's just making sure the general population really understands what is actually happening and what can be done now to help create change now for a healthier future.
So for a year from now, if I've done my math correctly in my head while almost falling off my stool, you know, it was the stress of doing the math. So about a year from now, you should be in Lower Patagonia somewhere. Impossible question, I guess, but what do you think the end of this will feel like for you personally, both of you? And Tim, you can start. And it's just the end of the journey. It's not even the end of the final production, because you'll still be producing a documentary.
That's right. So it's the end of the journey. I feel this journey, as I said earlier, it's almost the journey is the, I envision the journey to be the relaxed, enjoyable part. And then afterwards, or the non-work part in a way. And then afterwards, I hope there's going to be, again, lots of media opportunities, and hopefully that's when really we can harvest all the kind of fruits of this expedition, in terms of really being in a place where we get to talk, where we get to showcase what we've done. So I feel it's the before and after that's in a way the work part, and the in between, the expedition, is the enjoyable, relaxing vacation, maybe part. So I hope we'll be in a place where there's really a lot of interest and a lot of opportunity. Talk about what we've experienced, but not just about us. Again, talk about this in the context of what it means to the planet.
I wish you guys the best of luck, because this is an incredible undertaking. I am really looking forward to your journey, and I'm really looking forward to the film as well. And thanks for coming on today.
Yeah, thanks so much for having
us. Thank you so much.
And that's it for this episode of Northern Latitudes. Special thanks to my guests, Leanna Carrier and Tim Dobert, for sharing their story. For those of you that have enjoyed today's discussion, Wings of Survival is a journey you won't want to miss. It's an invitation to explore the beauty of our world, to understand the importance of conservation, and inspire us all to push our limits in the pursuit of something greater than ourselves. Thanks for joining me on Northern Latitudes. Remember, you can stay connected with the show on all the major podcast platforms. Search for Northern Latitudes. Please leave a review and hit that subscribe button. For even more content, including the NL Biz podcast, film festival information, and my photography, visit the website at northernlatitudes.ca. Our theme music and sound logo is produced by John Sanfilippo of Soundwise. Thanks also to our sponsors, Seven Summits Snacks and North. Until next time, I'm Bill Ault, signing off from Northern Latitudes.